With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we kick off the episode, I think we should just give a little warning that this has a lot of talk about mental health, a lot of talk about suicide.
Yeah.
And if this is triggering for anyone, perhaps be warned, maybe don't listen to it. Or if it is, we put loads of links in the description where you can go to look for help. I'm going to say that before we start.
Hello, everybody.
Howdy, partners.
Welcome to... another episode.
That was lackluster.
As I said, I'm depleted.
You did. You came into the studio
depleted.
And you announced that you were depleted.
It's not a good way to kick the podcast off.
What are you depleted of?
I don't know. But maybe if I was an iPhone battery, I reckon I would have to put it on that yellow mode that sometimes I press by accident.
I put low power on all the
time. I don't know how I do that. It just goes
I'm
to
always
it
on low power mode.
I'm on low power mode. And I can't find the charger.
You lost a charger.
I lost the... Someone's stolen the charger.
You know where you can find the charger?
You speak
in the in the hands of the good Lord. Come over to the church. We'll charge you up, buddy. We'll charge you up.
Find the faith.
Come on. I'll plug you right in.
We have a special episode today because we have my sister on the podcast. Hello, Emily Lang.
Oh, greetings.
Greetings.
Greetings. What a coup.
Oh, what a coup.
What a coup. Years and years and years of begging. Begging, yeah. And I finally said yes.
She finally did. After so long of me asking you to come on, you finally have done it.
Found a gap in my schedule.
And why? Why did she say yes?
Why? For why? For many reasons. One, because I want to support my beautiful brother.
There we go.
Yeah, that's the main ticket.
That is the ticket.
This one right here.
Yeah, me.
Hey.
And also,
you are beautiful, by the way. Your new skin.
Well, yeah, I have new skin today.
Example told Jamie he had good skin last week.
Example.
As in the singer.
The rapper.
Sure.
No.
He's real. Okay.
Indeed.
He said he's got good skin.
Yeah, he said I had great skin.
So there you go.
Ludi, you're on the podcast today, not because you're just my sister, but because you have your podcast.
I do.
Which is just launched.
Just launched.
What?
Episode one came out last Tuesday.
How are you feeling about it?
I feel so incredibly proud, which is not something I say often, and you know that about me. But I am very.
You've never said it about your brother.
Never once. In fact, today was the first. I'm very, very proud, but I'm incredibly proud of myself. It is called "Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends?"
Yeah. I think the title is great.
Very good question.
Emmy at the beginning was like, "I'm going to call it Why."
Why do you think you've got no friends? You useless twat.
You useless twat. And I was like...
Why did you change it? I love that.
Yeah, but I was like, that might be an aggressive title. I don't know. I would just keep the twat bit out, but keep the rest.
Why do you think you've got no friends? You useless twat.
But listen, we want to hear...
Is that a reflection, like looking in the mirror type thing? Or are you just asking?
Something I just shout with myself on a daily basis.
Yeah, What's the basis of the podcast?
Oh, look at that. Look, that's a great question, Alex.
That is, isn't it?
That is a
It's a good one.
Wait, say it one more time.
What's the basis of the podcast?
That's a brilliant question.
Tell
me a little bit about it.
So, being incredibly, incredibly open about it.
Here we go.
Strap yourselves in.
Strap yourselves in, people, because we are going to talk about trauma.
Get cozy.
Let's go.
Oh, codependency. Yeah. So, in January of this year, January 2022, I hit a rock bottom. In a kind of apocalyptic way. It was really, really bad. Basically, for a very, very long time, I'd been repressing a lot of stuff. I'd been distracting. I'd been using substances to numb the feelings that I was having. And it all came to a head in January. And I just lost it. I completely lost it. I hit the end of my tether and... that was it. I was out. I was completely out. And I made an attempt on my own life, which resulted. I didn't, as you can tell, it didn't work. And I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful. I am,
as you can
imagine, as you can tell, I am still here. But I, as a result, I ended up in primary care for 30 days, which. I mean, this is news to no one, but my God, do not go to rehab if you can help it. It's so shit.
Really?
You think it's going to be one thing. Oh my God, it's the worst.
What is it? It's the lack of drugs in there. Is that the hardest?
It's because there's no cocaine anywhere.
Fuck's sake. What is this? You're paying top dollar for this.
Yeah, God. It is. It's awful. I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for it because it did save my life. But it was really, really hard. And what I realized when you hit an absolute rock bottom, when you really get to a place where everything was destroyed, and I mean, my life went up in smoke. It was, I mean, you were there. Mm-hmm. It was...
It was not good.
It was so bad.
Yeah, but I noticed it. For me, what happened when I started noticing it, because... I think we went into lockdown together.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, and you had just been broken up with.
No, I this is like the one time when I'd done it. I'd broken up with someone.
Oh, you'd broken up with it. Okay.
I need to claim ownership over that because usually I am.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fine. But you. I mean, look. Whatever it was, you were hurt. You were hurting. This is not this.
Mm.
This was the other one.
Oh yeah.
So you had broken up with someone.
Yeah.
And then someone had broken up with you and you couldn't handle the rejection. And I remember, it was from like a brother's side, it was like intense behavior, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was really intense behavior. And what I've come to realize is that our relationship, you and me, because we've grown up together and we kind of grew up with zero boundaries. Mm. And I think... what we struggle with a lot of the time, or what you struggle with, is that because we grew up with no boundaries, you sort of think I'm an extension of you.
Mm.
And so when I have a really intense reaction to something or behave in a way that you wouldn't, you can't understand
absolutely
why that's happening, because you would never do that.
Yeah.
So my aim, a lot of what I'm trying to do in this podcast, Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, is to... basically go, you don't know how you would react in a situation if you were otherwise informed. Everyone's experience is very, very different.
Mm.
And there's a line from Matilda, the musical classic.
Tim Minchin.
Well,
I did Bake Off with him.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Cake.
Banana cake.
Yeah, banana bread. A meringue tower. What do you mean? Meringue.
What's a meringue?
Meringue tower.
Also, your banana bread literally had a banana in the shape of a penis on.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
That was on
they
BBC.
That was Channel 4. They're like, what is that? I was like, it's banana. They're like,
no, it's not.
Bananas are penis shaped. You can't really change
it. No, but there were two. It was a banana and two balls.
Oh, you actually made.
I actually made a penis. Schlong. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, worst cake ever made. Oh yeah, so Tim Minchin in Matilda wrote in one of the songs, it says, for example, when I say red, there is no way of knowing if red means the same thing in your head as red means in my head when someone says red.
Yeah.
When you have a reaction to something and you are experiencing trauma and you have very intense mental health problems, those things are your responsibility. They're no one else's responsibility. You have to take care of those things. It's not your, it's no one else's responsibility to understand, to experience what you're experiencing. Mm. But it's also no one's place to judge it.
No. No, but it's no one's place to judge it at all. But what I do think happens is that what you, when you're so in the depth, which you were at this beginning time of lockdown, I'm saying, you couldn't understand, you couldn't see from a different perspective that actually potentially you needed help.
You didn't
know you needed help.
No.
And I remember seeing you, and I remember talking to like family and stuff like that, and no one knew it. I was like, guys, Emmy, we need to get Emmy
help. We need to get
some help,
yeah.
Because this is not a good thing. And it took me ages.
Yeah, a really,
to,
really
to
long
persuade
time.
You.
Yeah. But it's when you're in it, it's incredibly hard to understand what's happening. Mm. And this I will always say, and a lot of people disagree with me, but I will always say, never underestimate the power of a diagnosis, because when you're informed, when you understand what's going on, when you're able to even just Wikipedia the symptoms, you feel so much less alone. Otherwise, you're just floundering in this place of not understanding what is happening. Mm. So I suffer from CPTSD, which is complex post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh. That's a nice one to take out the bag.
CPTSD.
It's like a robot, Star Wars.
CPTSD. BPD. Borderline personality disorder. I suffer with addiction. I'm a codependent.
Do you think you have addiction?
Yeah.
You think you
I'm
do?
A love addict, for sure.
Oh, a love addict, okay.
I'm a love addict. This is all going on my dating profile.
Yeah, this is it.
Codependent,
this is it.
Addict, rehab. You want a girl?
Yeah.
You want a girl
Come
who's seen some
down,
dark?
Get it.
Look into my eyes, God. You will see some darkness.
Oh my God. But I think, Luli, what is, you know, what, as you're saying, these diagnoses, what is tricky, I think, right, is that a lot of people who may be listening to this will be like, okay, this is just some young privileged kid who's got like daddy issues or whatever it is, or mummy issues.
100%.
But actually, that's not really the case. And, you know, it's more the fact that, you know, everyone's, it doesn't matter what background you come from, what you have, what privileges you were given or not given. Going through these experiences are pretty tough as an individual.
Incredibly,
right?
Incredibly tough. And there have been a lot of things that have happened to me in my life that have been incredibly traumatic and haven't been addressed. And I think when, it sounds so dramatic, but I think it's in something like episode 7 or 8. I feel like I was born with despair because I lost an identical twin. I was an identical twin in the womb. And there's a lot of studies to show that if you are a womb twin survivor, then your brain is literally wired differently. You are,
really? Yeah, is that true?
You suffer from extreme abandonment issues.
Right.
A lot of people who are womb twin survivors actually get misdiagnosed with BPD. So, you know, that's something to look at in the future.
What is BPD?
So many abbreviations.
I know, BPD is BPD.
LOL, YOLO.
Do you know what? I have everything.
Wait, what is BPD? What
just list the alphabet.
What happens with BPD?
BPD, borderline personality disorder. It's when you live in a sort of, you live in a black and white mentality. So it's all or nothing. You can't see any kind of gray area. If a friend is upset with you, they hate you, they're never going to talk to you again. So you dive between ecstasy and despair. And it's an all or nothing response to everything. There's a common misconception that there's a lot of anger that goes with it, and it's quite, there's a lot of anger that gets put outside and people can be quite violent. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. With BPD, a lot of the time, if you have a lot of anger, it will go inward. So you will self-harm, suicidal tendencies, things
inward,
like that.
Inward anger is reflects in depression sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty chip. But I have it all. I caught the snitch on that one.
Yeah.
10,000 points to Gryffindor.
Caught the brown snitch. Yeah. The snitch that no one wanted to catch. She got
Wait,
it.
But also, the thing for me, which I didn't realize, right? And this is what I think I then realized after a while, was and you hid it so well was that you were just drinking so much?
I was drinking a lot, yeah. When there is so much trauma, and like I said, I feel like I was born with despair.
Mm.
And so when something has always been a part of you, it just feels very normal.
Mm-hmm.
So every time that I was hurt, every time there was chaos, every time that I was put in a dangerous situation, it just felt like home. This felt normal. And if it was something was kind of stable, I was like, well, I don't understand this. This is frightening to me. So I never paid attention to things that were hurting me or irrational behavior because it just felt normal. And so I was using alcohol. I was really abusing alcohol to just numb everything because it was building and building and building and building. And there were so many times when I was like, yeah, I'm nailing it. I have got my shit together. I am, oh my God, I'm amazing. And I was just hanging on to distraction.
Yeah.
I either had a great job or a new partner or I don't know, drugs.
Yeah, you were clinging on to that, like
found a new band.
Sticking plaster. And
that chaos you thought was success almost.
Yes, like, yeah. And I always say that living a life of superlatives, which is exactly what I was doing, was incredibly romantic and very exciting. It is also just wildly dangerous. It's completely, it's so unstable. And I talk in my podcast, Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? I talk a lot about how before you start healing, and if you are in the place that I was with a lot of trauma and addiction and personality disorders and all of that, you're sort of standing on this bridge over a pool of lava. And you're kind of rocking it and it's a lot of fun and you're jumping from thing to thing and something might fall, but you can fix a platform. But eventually you're going to fall. It's going to happen. Mm. And I literally jumped in there naked into the lava and destroyed
Melted. Everything.
But it's amazing, right? Because I remember then we finally persuade you to go to this. Do you call it a rehab or what do we call it?
I call it rehab, primary care, recovery. I like calling it rehab because I like dropping it as a thing in conversation and seeing how people react.
Yeah. Oh God,
I'm back awake.
What the hell is
so
that?
So did you not read it on my dating?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is Don Raya, I went to rehab.
But because I remember I took you, because I was so worried about you, I took you to a couples therapy session with me.
Couples therapy?
Well, it was like a couple therapy session,
wait,
wasn't it?
You guys went in as a couple.
Yeah,
we are couple therapy.
Well, I said, look, let's go.
That would have been an easy one. I immediately know what the issue is here. Yeah. You guys shouldn't be dating.
You guys, this is very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys even doing this? Really weird. No, but I took you to this meeting, which was, I think, what you probably call that is like a...
Intervention
type thing.
Yeah, it wasn't strong enough of an intervention.
It did not work.
It did not work. I sat there being like, "Ooh, done, bye."
Yeah, bye. I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cycle back in the most dangerous.
Oh my God, I remember that. And then finally, I don't know what the clicking point was.
It was literally, but with someone like me who suffers from the disorders that I have, the addiction, the post-traumatic stress disorder, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, BPD, all the rest of it, you literally have to get to a place.
Yeah.
Of having nothing, of everything going to actually pay attention to what's happening.
That's exactly it.
You
can't
destroy
do it.
It all to build,
you have
build
to
it back again.
Literally like a phoenix from the ashes. There's this test called the ACEs test, which is adverse childhood experiences. Between the ages of, you know, when you're born to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's 10 questions. Of what you experienced, and it's things like, did your parents divorce? Dick.
Yeah.
did you have a parent who went to jail? Was there abuse in the household, et cetera, et cetera? And if you score 2 out of 10, you're more likely to be depressed. If you score 4.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this in there, yeah.
Yeah, if you score more than 4, you're more likely to have addictive tendencies. And if you score, I think it's 6. I could be saying this wrong. It's either 4 or 6. You are 42,000% more likely to take your own life.
If what? Say that again.
If you score
42,000%.
And I scored 6 out of 10.
Wow.
Have you got the test?
Oh, I'm trying to get this thing up, which is basically all about like understand. It's like a, what is the test called? Which
the ACE is the Adverse Childhood Experience.
Yeah, that I see. It's not getting up.
It's so with people like me, who harbor a lot of trauma. It literally, you either get to the place, unfortunately, and it is so sad. And this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast. I really want to raise awareness.
Mm.
You get to a place where you either end up taking your own life or reach a place like I did and I was saved.
Yeah.
I survived, and I'm so, so lucky that I survived. And I feel like I have a duty, somewhat duty. I'm very aware of falling into a martyr complex.
Yeah, because you don't want to do that.
I'd be like, I suffer, so you may not.
Yeah, I have died
for your sins. That's absolutely not what I'm doing. It's, I want to go, I hit a place that was so terrible and so dark, and I genuinely thought I would never recover. I was like, this is it, I'm out. And
but it's so funny how you can, this is where the willingness you can actually get through things, and people give up too soon with stuff.
Oh.
Doesn't matter if it's as serious as what you were talking about, or it's as easy as like running a race. People give up so quickly on things that they don't complete it within the instant moment they think they should do it, right?
I mean, I left my body. It was like the experience of hitting the place of just knowing that you're about to give up is completely otherworldly. It's terrifying. And I genuinely, because I survived, and because I'm still here, I really want to go, what you're experiencing, people listening to this, anyone listening to this, what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, what you've done, I've been there, I've done it, I've felt it, it's okay. You're not alone in this. You're not, whatever, if you've done something stupid last night, if you got drunk and humiliated yourself.
We've all done that.
I've done that. I've made catastrophic mistakes. I've lost friends. I've nearly lost family. Not you, but others. Like, if you're feeling shit, I've been there. I've been there.
Do you think when you were in that position that you're in, if someone like you had come along and had like spoken to you, you would have?
That's, yeah.
She was so blurry though.
Because you felt like you were alone, I'm guessing. Like.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I think for you, one of the biggest things was and a lot of is stopping drinking.
Yeah.
That is a, and that's a big W, a big win for you right now.
It's really, I got quite emotional actually on Friday when we were out at the Candy Kittens 10 year anniversary.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Didn't make it, it was very sad.
Sat home, being wholesome, knitting.
Yeah, lovely with Tom Daly.
I got quite emotional because it's I do realize I can go out and have a really, really wonderful time without drinking. Mm. And I say quite a lot in my podcast, like I have a tendency to have about as much sense of self as a piece of cotton wool, honestly. Like I have the self-esteem of a finger puppet. Like genuinely, it's I am just all over the place sometimes, yeah. Or have been, and now having built this very solid foundation from complete rock bottom, I being able to sit there and have a conversation and make eye contact with someone and know that you are safe and in control of yourself is very, very powerful,
right?
Very powerful. And it's the first time I felt totally in control and caring for myself, caring for my body. Because that's the thing with drinking. My body was just, I was destroying my body.
Yeah.
And you know, I had an eating disorder for years as well.
Yeah.
Like it was.
Just add that on.
Yep, that one as well. Just add that on the
right. Chuck that one in there. Make you single, because this one's up for dating. But it's great. But it's great, Lou, that you can talk about this, and also the thing about this, right, is that most people just go into this very sort of serious place, which you do. You dip into it, but also you keep light of it, which is an important thing. Because what life is definitely about having fun, and you go through ups and downs, whatever that may be, and
you have to do it with a lightness of touch, and that's what I'm doing with the podcast. So the first series is 10 episodes, which are all between 10 and 13 minutes. And they're essentially monologues that I've written.
Mm. And your writing's insane.
Oh, thanks.
It's amazing. Your writing's amazing.
Thank you. It's all about different aspects of mental health. The first episode is my rock bottom when I discuss, you know, being in a place of trying to take my own life. And the sort of analogy I use is that unpredictability and a life that's unmanageable, those two things, they go hand in hand and they meet rock bottom, and neither can live while the other survives, like a terrible Harry Potter spin-off. Yeah. And like it's all done with a lightness of touch, because it needs to be accessible. People need to be able to listen. And if you're punching people in the face with like codependency, I don't think it works. So each episode discusses a different aspect of mental health. So there's an episode about codependency. There's an episode about antidepressants. There's an episode about PTSD and CPTSD and the difference between those two things, and recovery in general. There's a whole episode about what it's like in rehab. Stay tuned for that one, because that is
really, so rehab is really to stay away from it.
Oh my god.
But it saves lives as well.
Oh my gosh, it saved my life. I never ever want to go back there. I found a hole.
I
found a hole in the fence.
What?
I found a hole in the fence after I put my foot through.
There's a hole.
And you thought you were going to climb out of it?
Yeah, I was literally like that. I was like poking my head through, and then there was a therapist at the top of the hill who was seeing me. It was like, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
There's Alsatians next door roaming the farm. They're Spanish. They won't know what you're doing.
You could have gone at any point if you wanted to. But
literally, you can leave it at any point. You can check yourself out. I mean, I really wouldn't advise it. And also, if I'd done that, literally, people like their mum would have like changed the locks. She'd be like, you are staying.
Yeah, but I think also, I don't know.
I'm really proud of myself for doing it. And I'm really proud that I stuck it out. My theory is about this entire thing. There are parts of all of us that are just quite shit.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts, like everyone. And I always, and like in the podcast, I go like, yeah, even Jennifer Lawrence, even Steve Carell, who is the most perfect man on earth.
Yeah, has shit time.
But he's a bit shit. He might like, I don't know, snore or something.
Yeah, or so everyone has it.
There's something that's a bit shit. And going towards those things and embracing them, because we're all a patchwork of things that are wonderful.
Steve Carell snoring really loudly.
Yeah.
Embrace it, Steve.
We're all made up of these different things, of beautiful and terrible things, and being open about them and accepting them is I think the way to go, and I'm basically going, yeah, there are parts of me that are awful. I hate them, but they're a part of me, so I have to accept them. Mm. And they are my responsibility. Things that happen to you, the trauma that you hold, those things that happen to you are not your fault. They are not your fault at all. They shouldn't have happened to you. But if the trauma that comes with that, that is your responsibility. Mm. It's no one else's responsibility to take care of you. But with me, I had to get to a place of literally my life was destroyed. Everything was gone.
Mm. Mm. I think it's a brave thing to talk about. I think the podcast is freaking excellent.
Thanks.
And you know what? I think, like, you know, it's the reason, you know, it's a tough one for, this is why, you know, we've never done this before, because for me, for like, you know, especially like probably a couple years, mm. I found it tricky to
communicate
really. Yeah, because I just saw you just nailing your life, like hurting yeah. yourself,
and you don't understand, like, no one, you cannot understand, and the person in it, I can't understand, and it's so tricky, and that's why you can't have communication.
Oh, it's like hitting my head against a brick wall. Couldn't it frustrated me so
yeah,
much,
yeah, because you don't understand why I can't do the things that you would do.
Yeah, but it also it what was so frustrating is I would try and explain that to parents and brothers, and no one would understand it.
No,
and I was like, can you not see what's going on here? Yeah. And everyone's like, oh no. And I think there's a tendency, especially with, you know, I got sent to boarding school at 8 years old, all this kind of stuff. And when you have parents who are slightly kind of, you know,
you just get on with it.
You just, yeah, stiff up a little, let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The snap out of it attitude, it just does not work.
It does not work.
I really want to, like I said, it's no one else's responsibility to take care of you. It's no one else's responsibility to save you. You can only save yourself. But I do also really want to rid the stigmas surrounding it, surrounding mental health, because no one is choosing to
yeah, no one choose. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No one is choosing.
No, don't want it. Right?
I wasn't like, oh God, what do I want to do New Year's Eve? I want to jump out the window. And then rehab. Tick. That's on my bucket list.
It's so true. You don't want to have it, right?
No one wants it. No one chooses it. And addiction is a disease. It's a disease. And I, like I said, no one else's responsibility. But I think there needs to be more of a conversation surrounding how to operate with people who do have severe mental health problems, because it's still, if you had a broken leg, no one would prescribe their own way of dealing with that.
No.
You just go, you put a cast on it, you let it heal. No one goes, do you know what? Maybe just walk it off a bit and it will fix itself. No one would do that. And so when it comes to something like CPTSD, when you are constantly in fight, flight, freeze, appease, like, no one can go, do you know what? Just if you have an apple and walk around the garden 3 times,
it's going to be all right.
You'll forget that really terrible thing that happened to you when you were 17. Honestly, just like, oh, you know, like, go on the Ferris wheel. That's joyful.
Yeah. It's so true. Oh, you know, not one thing fixes all. Yeah,
someone said to me, someone quite close, I'll tell you who it is later, when, sorry.
That's our mother.
Nope. Nearly.
Yeah.
When, if you smile a lot, you can trick your brain into being happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what?
That doesn't work.
There apparently is science.
But not when you're that thick in it.
Not when you're that thick in it.
It must be a really hard thing to treat, though, because it's so complex, the mind, and you've built all these like bridges and strange neural connections and stuff. Like, it must be so difficult
The good news is that
stopping alcohol is the first route.
Well,
to,
I mean,
to,
if,
to,
if, you, then you if you've got your a, head. If you've got a chaotic mind, then booze is just like fucking fuel on the flame.
But you need to have a clear mind in order to begin that journey.
The good news is that the brain is elastic, and you can rewire it. You can heal from these things. But when I went to rehab, oh my God, I talk about this in episode 6, I think. When entering into the rehab with these fences and this massive gate, there was a sign that went, "You are a miracle." And I literally went, "Fuck you."
You have no idea.
But like,
and that's the self-loathing, right? That it kicks
in. Self-loathing. But then, and everything is taken away from you. Everything, like you have nothing. You're not allowed books that aren't specifically prescribed. You're told to read. Mm. You're not allowed. There's no cigarettes. There's no coffee. There's nothing that is mood altering or distracting. And so I described it in a way of like, I had been living in Kansas in The Wizard of Oz, and everything was kind of a little bit fuzzy and black and white. And then I got to rehab and I detoxed and took, and it was like Technicolor. Mm. It's like I landed in Oz and was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the amount of repressed memories that came up, the amount of things that I suddenly connected to and understood why I behave in a certain way because of childhood abuse. It's important to note it wasn't our parents, it was other people. But I was really badly abused as a child and all through my adolescence. And suddenly I was able to connect to that. And it was horrifying. Mm. It was terrifying. But it had to happen. It had to be processed. Because otherwise it's just sitting in there like a bomb ready to go off. Mm. And essentially with trauma, with complex CPTSD, CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, your amygdala, which is like this little bit at the base of your brain, that's your animal brain. And when you have CPTSD, it's always on. So you're constantly
stress, like, yeah, cortisol level.
You're like, what's the next threat? What's going to kill me? And so if you're triggered, and I have severe abandonment issues, like I said, so if I am dumped, all the terms, like if I'm dumped, it's that thing that sparks off.
Yeah, that light goes up like a Christmas tree.
Like, I can't think of an analogy.
Yeah, like a firework.
Like a firework. And it's not, I can deal with this. This is someone leaving me. It's akin to this. I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You can't differentiate between what is life threatening and what is not.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll just think your life's over.
So exactly. You think your life is completely over. And if you're like me and a massive codependent, Jesus, like everything I'm saying, I sound like such.
No, you
like
don't.
A patchwork of terrible things. But I completely lose myself in another person.
Yeah.
Completely lose myself. Do everything for them. All their needs.
Have you learned to deal with that now?
Well, I haven't tried it out with anyone, but I really hope so. I think now I have an awareness, and also I didn't have the vernacular before. I didn't have the way of explaining it. I couldn't understand it. And so now I really understand codependency. I understand my disorders. I'm able to flag the trigger. So if I get triggered, rather than going immediately, I'm going to die, I fight, flight, freeze, I can go, pause. Is this life threatening? Is this not? How do I deal with this?
Mm.
But before, because I didn't, it just felt normal. It just, because it's your brain telling you something. Like, why do you question it? Your brain is meant to be on your side, right?
Mm.
And so I was just like, I was constantly in hyperdrive. Just always terrified. And it's very intense.
I guess the first thing is that recognition of that emotion.
Mm.
And then it's like trying to build steps in between that emotion and then your reaction to that emotion. So
yes,
you go like,
exactly.
Oh shit, I'm feeling that. Right. I actually have two choices here, or I've got a multitude of choices, rather than just like straight to like.
Exactly. Exactly. Up. Like blowing up. It's like those, do you remember those like teen magazines that had those questionnaires?
What, nuts. And what was the other one?
FHM. Nuts and what was the other one? Nuts and.
I was thinking like Teen Vogue, but.
Oh, yeah. Teen magazines where they had the questions.
Yeah, the questionnaires when it's like, does he blah, blah, blah? And then there's like the spider things.
Mm.
Essentially, that's what I try to think of when I get triggered is like, okay, this is here. What do I want my reaction? What do I want? What is my instinct? My instinct is to self-harm. Mm. Is that in line with my values? No, because I value my body. I value, you know, whatever. So you can then sort of pick your route rather than just deep diving into, you know, self-destruct, which is what I always did before, because I didn't understand a different way of dealing with things. When you've had so much abuse and so much trauma, and you know, I'm a survivor of sexual assault as well. Like it's overwhelming. It's completely overwhelming. And it's very hard. It's very upsetting and mortifying, incredibly, incredibly humiliated when people sort of stand back and laugh and bitch and gossip, because that's human nature. We've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years. Everyone is gossiping. Everyone is talking about the latest drama, and it's brilliant until you're the subject of it.
Mm.
Well, do you know, it's funny that the where famous came from, we got taught this by Greg Jenner, where famous came from is the god Fameo, which is basically the god of gossip. Every single time you spoke about Fameo, he'd get bigger and bigger and bigger. So the more you gossiped about him, and he would follow the gossip. Mm. That's what thing is. So yeah, it's always happened.
Yeah, and I've been center of negative chaos and negative attention. And I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that anymore.
No. But I think, Lily, what is amazing on this Road to Recovery, you've got this podcast where we can listen to on Spotify, we can listen to on Apple, we can listen to anywhere, can't we?
Why do you think you've got no friends?
It's amazing. It's amazing. And as my sister, I'm just so proud of you of where you've come from, right?
Thank you.
And the reason why, you know, is that we have, you know, you haven't come to the podcast soon is because for 2 years, it was just so tricky to see you in a place, right?
Yeah.
And now I just couldn't be proud of you.
I can guarantee if I come on the podcast before, I would have done like 3 shots of vodka before I came on.
Would you have really?
1,000%.
Because you think you would have been funnier or more entertaining. And you're just not.
Exactly. And do you know what? And someone said to me the other day, they were like, are you worried that you're just not going to be funny anymore because you're sober?
You're funnier.
I was like, I am so much funnier.
Yeah, so much funnier and better and everything.
Way better, way more clear, way more conscious.
Confident and confident. And you understand things and see things.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And I would never, ever operate in the way that I was operating before. Like, it was literally, I say, like people standing back watching it being like, you are sledging down an icy hill into oncoming traffic with your eyes closed.
Yeah,
and
completely.
I was like, woo!
Yeah, and you just don't see it.
You cannot see it. And I really want to rid the shame surrounding it. Mm. I really, really want people to understand. I've been called insane, crazy, you know, useless twat. like I've been called every name in the book. Apart from in my podcast, in the first episode, people went, your voice is very soothing. And I was like, I have been called so many things. Soothing is definitely not one of them.
I think it's amazing. You should be so proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. And I think everyone just go and listen to the podcast. You know, especially if you're going through a tricky time, it's an amazingly well-written, you know, documentation of what you went through,
yeah,
and different things like that. And I know it's going to go on to different stuff as well, which is amazing.
And it's and they're very short. They're just little bite-sized moments if you're getting dressed in the morning on your way to work, or just at lunchtime if you're feeling down, if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling, you know, anxious or humiliated. I have been there tenfold.
Exactly.
And I'm being entirely open about it and going, laying all my shit on the table and going, it's okay. Mm. I didn't choose any of this, but I have chosen to recover. I've chosen to heal. And that is amazing. And I'm so proud of myself for that journey.
No, it's amazing, Lulu. I'm so proud of you. Everyone go and listen to the podcast. It's insane. Lulu, thank you so much for coming on this episode.
Thank you.
We'll get you back on where we'll talk about things, funnier things with you and I,
yeah,
when we were younger and stuff like that. This is just the beginning, right, for you.
That's what I wanted to ask.
There you go. That's just the
next
beginning.
Time.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah. Next time. What episode is the rehab one?
Episode.
Six?
I think it's episode 6.
Okay.
Yes, it is episode 6, and I talk about things like equine therapy.
Is that horse therapy?
It's for horses.
Oh my god!
Does it work?
We've got time to just tell this thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Do it.
Equine therapy. Where essentially, because horses are pack animals and they tend to respond to emotions and things like that, so it's basically for people. Oh, the rehab episode is episode 7.
Episode 7.
So it's essentially equine therapy is a way of going into a ring with a horse or a couple of horses, and they respond to your emotions. So if you have difficulty communicating what you're feeling, or you're repressing something, the horse will respond to your
does it work?
With what? Like
just starts going running away from you.
Oh my god.
I'm back. Why is it?
I've clearly got abandonment issues.
Yeah. The horse, but they do things like the horse would turn around and be like, mom.
Yeah. Good on you. Good on you, love.
But they went, I think it was the first time I went in there were 2 Shetland ponies. And I was stood there, and also bear in mind this was like my first week at rehab, when I was literally like, what the fuck, what why am I alive?
Yeah.
you are a miracle.
The Shetland just comes over and whispers that in your ear, you're like, fuck off.
You are a miracle. Like, it was so weird. I got in there, these 2 Shetland ponies, and the therapist said, I don't think I've told you this, talk about your relationship with your brothers. And I was like, okay. And went and said, I not even a sentence. And the boy Shetland bit the girl Shetland. And then he went, look at that. That's your relationship with your brothers. And I was like, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure the Shetland just bit the other one, because I said, three words or less.
Yeah.
And the Shetland definitely isn't reading my mind. But I was so devoid of emotion by that point. I was just like, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. You were just depleted by that point.
I was like, fine, whatever you want, sure.
Oh, my God. But Lulu, this is all in the podcast, isn't
this
it?
This is all in the upcoming podcast. There's so many stories. There's a ton of stuff just about. And it is funny. That's the main thing. Like, I do.
Of course it is. You're so funny.
Because I'm so funny.
It's going to be great. Hey, listen, go and listen to the podcast, Lulu. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on the episode today. Guys, this Friday, we have on the podcast, we have Chloe Petz, the comedian, on the podcast this Friday. So go and listen to that. As always, Luli, thank you so much for coming on. If you...
We should explain that Luli isn't my name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Her name's Emily, but I just call her Luli.
I don't know, ever since I was a kid, Luli.
Go and check out Emmy's Instagram as well. She's on social media. Mm-hmm. We can get all the podcasts. Emmy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I love you. I adore you.
I'm proud of you. And everybody, will see you on Friday for another episode. Until then, goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.